This is where normal comes to die. Mediocrity meets its final demise, and the status quo is unabashedly dismantled. Welcome to Reinvention Radio. Now, here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
All right. Oh, my God, we have a full house here today. This is awesome. I have to tell you, like, I used to do this show alone. So I used to do Reinvention Radio alone. And I would cry after every show.
Why?
They say men don't cry. I would cry after every show because I'd be like, I'm so alone. It's like, you can only talk about so many things by yourself, which is why it's so much fun to come in here because I got to look at the beautiful Mary Goulet, the super handsome Rich Ote, and once again, we're joined in the studio here by No Neck Nikki, which is awesome.
Yes.
Love it. Okay. Yeah. All right. Lots of things to go over. First and foremost, for those who have subscribed and rated and reviewed the podcast, we do very much appreciate that. For those that haven't, and this is your first time listening, which is the only reason that I could assume that you haven't rated and reviewed and subscribed to the podcast, please do so, because Mary has a very special gift for you if you do. Have you revealed yet what that is?
No. I'm still waiting for mine.
It's Dave Pounder.
Yeah, great.
Yay, Dave.
So here, perfect segue. I told Dave today, I'm like, so I'm going to leave and go down and hang out with my 14-year-old boyfriends.
And that's what we are.
Where's our iFart app?
Oh, man. Right. That was Joel, right? That was Joel Kahn that brought in the iFart thing. That's awesome. Oh, I don't know why we don't have that. All right, so here's my question for you. Did you watch the Super Bowl?
Yes.
Did you watch the Super Bowl?
Of course.
Of course you did. Did you watch the Super Bowl?
I did.
All right, I got it totally wrong. I will be the first one. No, I got it totally wrong. I had Carolina in a blowout. I had them winning by 21 points.
I want a Cam.
Let's put it to you this way. If you have lost one game through the season, you're going to be a little disappointed. So why are people on his ass about walking out of the press conference? I mean, I get it. But at the same token, it's like, if you're a competitor and you just lost the biggest gain of your... I mean, and he didn't perform well.
Yeah, his answer, too, was, show me a good loser and I'll show you a loser. Mm.
Yeah,
that's
Nick,
good.
You got something on that.
Yeah, I really didn't like any part of it, tell you the truth, for the simple reason that weeks prior he was dabbing and they were dancing after they were scoring touchdowns and winning.
Yeah.
And then he came out and he warmed up in gold-plated cleats.
Did he really?
Which had MVP underneath. And he was just all happy and just, you know, so full of himself. And then after you lose... Everybody, you know, there has to be a losing team. There has to be a winning team
always.
In the Super Bowl. And so the loser, it's never easy. But I'll reflect back on to Russell Wilson last year when New England intercepted the ball, remember, at the one-yard line.
They had that game, too. That was
and
so stupid.
Russell Wilson came out with a suit on, and he answered every question.
Yeah, he did.
Cam Newton showed that he is still immature and gave good reason why a lot of folks still dislike him.
Yeah, and I can see that. I mean, look, remember, I don't know if you remember this or not, but I'm from Chicago. Do you remember when it was the Detroit Dynasty? You remember the Detroit Pistons? They had the dynasty
Correct.
For years, right? And so they were just, I mean, they were the bad boys of Detroit. They were dickheads. They played rough. They hurt people. But they won. And so I think in some regard, all is forgiven when you win, right? So can you, let me ask you a question. If you win, does that give you the right to be that kind of a dickhead? I mean, if he had won, would we be saying the same things about, oh, look, man, he was wearing the, you know, the gold-plated shoes with the MVP on it. If he had won...
He kind of jinxed himself doing that.
There's no doubt. I mean, you're from Chicago. How'd everyone handle McMahon?
Right? So you would have applauded that.
Applauded it, but they just forgive it. I think it's not the personality. It's the success. The success lets people forgive it because they just look at it different. I agree with No Neck Nikki. Like, I think he's still immature. I still think he needs the way to go. But success kind of just forgives people.
Look, if you're gonna dab and you're gonna go ahead and celebrate and slap everybody.
Did you just say dab?
Dab.
I love it.
That's right. He was dabbing. He was dabbing.
Wait. Time out. What is dabbing?
Dabbing is little.
Oh my God! That's a new thing, right? I did see something like that.
And yeah. Where you been,
Steve?
Wait. Do you plank before you dab? Or you? Do they still plank even? Have you seen? Do you remember that?
Yes.
Do you remember planking? I have no idea what the hell this was, but people were like, putting on their like elbows and toes in like the most God unforsaken places.
So
and
now they would take this.
That's what it is. It's a little dance.
That's, no, yeah. That's the whip and the nay nay.
What
Mary.
The nay nay?
Well, I mean, really, what is the whip and what is the nay nay? My kids walk around going, "I did the whip, I did the nay nay." I'm like, "Oh my,
my
god!"
My daughters actually do it every day, all the time.
Our future is hosed. We are like totally. So toast. But I guess our parents probably said the same thing about us, right? And it's like, okay, that Elvis, he's going to just make every. I mean, this whole world is going. The people who were like, you know, born in the 50s, who loved Elvis, their parents were probably like, oh my God, this is the end of the year. This is the
yeah,
end
and
of
then
world.
When the Beatles showed up.
Yeah, and Elvis is still making money. Yeah, right? He's dead still and he's still making day. Money.
Yeah.
So going back to Detroit for a second. So do you remember they beat the Bulls 3 years running in the NBA Finals?
Correct.
And every single time they were dicks about it. Fourth year, Isaiah Thomas, for those who are unfamiliar, Isaiah Thomas.
He's cute.
I will defer to you on that one. Isaiah Thomas and the rest of the Pistons walked right by the Bulls in that final game where they were knocked out of the playoffs, didn't shake their hands, didn't acknowledge them.
Dissed them.
So now we're dabbing, we're planking, and we're dissing. This,
wow.
See? And who says this show doesn't have urban appeal?
Absolutely.
Who would say such a thing?
Real time.
So my question is, when you look at the Cam Newton situation, do you think a guy like that comes back better, or does he never recover because he was so grandiose and so boisterous? Is he now so embarrassed that he couldn't fulfill what he promised to be the destiny of that team that he's never going to be the same player? Just curious. And I know we don't talk sports here a whole lot. Although
every
we do sometimes.
Show.
Every show. Okay, fine. what do you think?
I think he will. It'll take some time. But I think he will. He's got a great coach.
What do you think, Nick?
Well, I think that he could have really came out after that game and he could have really won over a lot of people by saying, look, we came here 17-1. We didn't get the job done. We didn't play our good game. You know, I'm responsible. And prior to that, when that ball hit the ground, when he fumbled the football, he didn't actually dive on it. And
that was an interesting play.
And I thought to myself, if you're trying to win a Super Bowl, I don't care what position you play, but I think that Denver really got to him. And he was a little scared of that Denver defense, and he didn't perform like we have seen him perform all year long.
All right, so you got something else, Rich? Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you can't underestimate experience. When you have 18 players on your team that have been there before, there's mm-hmm. a lot of wisdom going around in that locker room that it's the inches. It really is a game of inches. We hear it all the time. But
I've told my wife that for years.
That's what I heard.
That's why
and you don't need many of them.
Finally,
Dave,
you guys admit it.
Dave.
And she's still there.
And she's still there, right? I know. After 18 years, I've been telling her for 18 years that this is 12 inches right here. And it's like, it is. I'm telling you. All right. So just in case you were worried about Cam and you didn't think that he was going to be okay, an 8-year-old wrote Cam a letter after his Super Bowl loss. And I thought this was pretty apropos. There's a lot of lessons in this, but I want to see what you guys get out of it. So he can't spell, and we're not going to hold that against the kid. He wrote a letter to Cam Newton. Somehow this got public. And he said, "Dear Cam Newton." So obviously he doesn't know him very well because he didn't say, you know, like, "Dear Cam"
Homie.
Or something like
or
that.
Mr.
Or "Dear
Newton.
Home," right? "Dear Cam Newton, I'm sorry you lost, but here is a paper trophy. T-R-O-F-Y. And Stephen Graham said, "He's my friend. I just felt like it would make him a little bit happier."
Okay.
He also continued on to say, "When a friend falls down, the other friend always picks him up."
Oh.
That is an 8-year-old talking to Cam Newton.
Oh.
Cam could learn a lot from that kid, right? I mean, that's... I think that's probably more mature than
right.
Newton is at this point.
Well, you know, he came into the Super Bowl week talking about the black quarterback situation. You know, it's a racial situation. People don't like me because they've never seen a black quarterback like me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he got off on the wrong foot there, and it continued to go wrong. And then playing, without question, his most inappropriate game of the year. I mean, he was
he played really poorly.
He did.
But speaking of blacks, which is, you know, how I like to segue here into nonsensical ways, did you hear what Meryl Streep said?
No.
Did you catch that? Rich, did you catch that?
No, I didn't.
So you guys have been following the Oscar stuff, yeah?
No.
No.
No. Do you know that there were no black nominees
African Americans, correct.
You know what? There were no white nominees on the BET Awards either.
Oh.
Never are.
Oh. that's a great point. I don't see.
They can dish it, but
all right. So here's what I'm going to do. I am going to boycott this year's BET Awards. That's what I'm going to do. I think that would make sense.
And there's no white players in the NBA All-Star game this weekend either.
Is that true?
That's true.
Not even like second string. Not a single
Anglo white NBA basketball player named to either of the two teams.
Interesting. I bet you if you go to the NHL, let's go to the NHL All-Star game. Is there an African-American or a black?
Yes, there are.
Really? Who?
Yeah.
Who is black in the NHL?
Why, they can't skate?
Oh, there's a couple. They're usually the enforcer.
My parents were, you know, I will readily admit that I am African-American, and I hate the cold, and I think that's why, you know, blacks don't play hockey because it's cold. I get it. I don't know. But all right, so here's the thing. So Meryl Streep recently said that, by the way, we're all Africans, really. So in other words, it's fine what happened because at our core, we're really just all Africans. Meryl Streep is probably the whitest
right.
person I have ever seen. I think, what's the term? Oh, yeah, translucent. I swear to God, like, you can literally see through the woman. You know how, like, you can say,
so white, she's pink.
It's scary.
You see the meat underneath.
It's scary, but
we were doing okay, and we just went sideways.
I don't think that a person like Meryl Streep ever recovers from making a comment like that. I don't think that that happens. And here's what's going to happen, right? People are going to remember that comment throughout the rest of her career, which is a perfect segue into our first guest that we're going to have on here, which is the world's leading memory expert, who's going to tell us why people will never forget that Meryl Streep said such a thing.
He didn't forget the call.
He didn't forget to call. He's on. All right, right back with Reinvention Radio right after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, then the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Olscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step-by-step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many people get on the right path and clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step to realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting thereinventionworkshop.com today. No more delays. No more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to thereinventionworkshop.com today. That's thereinventionworkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Olscher.
All right, welcome back to another edition here of Reinvention Radio. Full house today. Mary Goulet, Richote, and No Neck Nikki. All right, awesome, awesome, awesome. All right, so we've got Dave Farrell on the line, and I've actually been looking forward to this for quite some time because the first time that I ever saw Dave, it was in a picture, and you know how people have headshots and like you're looking like, oh, that's kind of nice. You know, very few headshots are memorable, right? Dave's headshot is in like this King Tut, like Pharaoh looking thingy. You remember that shit? I mean, it's like it's super. I bring Dave up. Dave, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on. I'm glad you segued to me instead of. When you were in the middle of talking about the Oscars there, I was worried.
I figured like, we'll find a way to bring it home for you.
And now talking about white people, and here's Dave. I didn't know if you were going to go in that direction.
Well, we could have done that very easily.
I think that's why Mary shows up week in and week out, because she really just doesn't ever know what's going to happen. And the way I bring it full circle, she's like, wow.
That was talented.
That was talented.
There you go.
You know, some of us have very few talents. That's mine. I have very few talents, and that's one that I have.
A car running. Out of control on a wet road.
It's an honor and a pleasure to be on the show.
Well,
how big of an honor?
Yeah, you're saying that now, Dave. Give it a little.
relatively.
Not kidding.
Relatively big.
How about this? Is it as much as an honor to be on Reinvention Radio as it was to be on Regis's show?
Oh, well, you can't compare to that. Regis is a legend, you know. But
his memory's probably not so good.
We're going to have a longer conversation here, and we're going to have a lot of fun.
Yeah, we will. I'm thinking Regis's memory is probably not so good.
You know, Regis started here in San Diego.
Well, actually, that was actually a hook. If you talk about doing, as you know, I do PR now for people as well. And one of the ways I get on all these shows is I basically look for times when hosts forget something, and that helped me get on the show, because Regis got a bunch of people's names wrong, and then they were like, hey, let's bring Dave on as kind of a joke for Regis, and I got on Regis and Kelly with it.
So take people through kind of who you are for those who don't know you. Obviously, we jumped straight into it here, but you're a two-time Guinness World Record holder. There's a whole bunch to you here that's pretty damn interesting, so just kind of take us through the who is the Dave Farrell.
Yeah, sure. Thanks a lot. I'm the two-time Guinness World Record holder for memory. I've actually been teaching memory training for about 20 years. So my first program actually was in cassettes, and I've sold tens of thousands of copies of my memory program worldwide. It's called the Farrell Method. You can look up Dave Farrell on Google, and there's pages and pages of stuff. I've had two infomercials. Now I'm on the third, and I've sold in 12 countries around the world. But what you don't know about me is I obviously do have this great memory. I broke into the Guinness Book of Records by memorizing the exact order of 59 decks of playing cards all shuffled together.
Holy.
That's 3,068 cards in total. But what you don't know is actually I don't have a gifted memory. This is all based on skills that you can learn. A lot of people don't realize your memory can be hacked is the best way to describe it. There is a mechanism that allows you to memorize things without repetition, and that's basically what I take advantage of. And I teach people how to do this all the time. It's totally transferable. I've been one of the most successful people in teaching this and now also doing publicity and public relations. I run a PR firm now as well called Farrell PR.
Nice.
Because with this skill set, I've been able to get on over 2,000 interviews in my career, selling millions of dollars worth of the memory program. So now I show other people how to do it too.
Awesome. So have you listened to Reinvention Radio yet, or is this your first exposure to it?
I've listened to you before. Yeah, I'll be honest. I went through clips because we kind of booked this last minute.
Yep.
But I like to do some research ahead of time. I like what you guys are doing.
Yeah, that's how a lot of our audience is. Most of our audience can only take us in clips. So you're right on par with most of our listeners. But if you listen to the show, then you probably know that I smoke a lot of weed. And it was interesting because Mary and I were talking about this, and you said, Mary, that you saw a study, and Dave, I'd love your input on this, but Mary, you said you saw a study that, contrary to popular belief, smoking weed doesn't actually really affect your memory. What was that study
mentioned? Okay, so they had 2,500 people memorize 15 words. And half the group smoked pot on a regular basis, and the other half did not smoke pot.
Were they smoking while they were doing this exercise?
I don't know.
Okay.
So then it came to be that the people who did not smoke pot remembered 9 of the 15 words, and the people who smoked pot all the time remembered 8.5 of the words out of 15. So that half point.
Yeah.
Sort of like, okay, I guess it doesn't wreck your memory.
Interesting.
Well, having a baby will.
Yeah, that actually stands up to a lot of the data, although the 8 and 9 is a bit much. They must have done something with that list. Typically, when you do the random sequence test, people score about 5 or 6 after seeing it just once. So they might have allowed some repetition or something. I'd like to see the protocols in that study. But, yeah, essentially, the effects of pot on your memory, on your short-term and long-term memory, tends to be temporary unless somebody is a chronic user. And I don't mean a user of chronic. I mean you chronically use it. So there have been some studies, though, of people who are intense users or extreme users, and they do seem to have more permanent effects that at least take longer to adjust from. So there's a bunch of studies that show poor grades and long-term poor performance on tests. But most of the studies do show that if somebody goes straight or sobers up or whatever, maybe gets a job where you got to pee in a cup or something like that, then they straighten out after a couple of years. These effects are gone. One of the interesting things is that anything that helps you relax and de-stress can actually be good for your memory. So it might be a matter of super stressed out versus super relaxed but a little bit you know, a little bit of experience with pot might balance out a little bit, you know, for your memory.
Hey, Dave, this is Nicky.
You don't even know your own name.
That's right. God,
still
fact,
trying to figure out where that was.
You
got to
go
from.
Through Dave's program.
That's why I said it, because I forgot who I am. He hasn't taken his hit yet.
That's right.
Matter of fact, this chronic stuff is like, if you like, secondhand smoke is really sending me, you know, affecting my memory. I was just curious the influence you had in attaining this great skill of yours.
What do you mean the influence I had, like over others? Or
no,
like not hypnosis.
Did a teacher influence you to perfect your memory, or did, you know, grandfather, your mother, your dad? All of a sudden, did you just wake up and decide, well, I'm going to be a memory expert?
You know, actually, this will really, you guys will really appreciate this. This is one of those stories about motivation that's counter to all those motivational pictures you see. A lot of times you think of motivation as a positive thing, but I'm living proof that, you know, negative experiences can motivate you a lot. So I actually, I was diagnosed with ADHD and dyslexia when I was a kid. I was 14 years old, I was really marginalized in those days. It was a relatively new diagnosis, so all they did really is put you in a separate class with other people that were having difficulty and not really any extra help. So I took it upon myself to try to figure out how my brain works. I'm obviously very ambitious, very self-motivated. I got a lot of, you know, traits that should lead to success, but my inability to pay attention and focus and actually retain information was holding me back. And I went on a quest for about 2 years to discover everything I could about memory. And I got into like mentalism and psychology and neuroscience and all that. And that's when I developed my method. Even what I knew back then is nothing compared to what I know now, but back then it was able to transform my grades, and I started teaching it to other people. But it was specifically one teacher that told me I wouldn't amount to anything, that I should pick a trade or something, just, you know, I'll be lucky if I have a professional job. And this, I was, you know, 15 years old, and this teacher's, you know, telling this to this kid. I mean, how demotivational. But I wanted to prove that bugger wrong so badly, it motivated me more than anything. I have him to thank in a very negative way for a lot of my success, because it made me, you know, fight to try to prove him wrong.
Yeah. Have you ever used his skill in Vegas for card counting, blackjack, or anything like that?
Yeah, actually, I wrote an ebook on it. It's called Mind Over Luck. It's only $20. So you can get it at mindoverluck.com. And I did.
But the ROI on that is out. That's like off the charts. Jesus. So did you get kicked out? Did they blacklist you? What happened?
I want to be clear. Yeah, you're right. For card counting, you could charge hundreds of dollars, thousands of dollars to teach it. But honestly, I don't want to make money at that.
You're a good guy.
Well, I'm more than happy to make money. I do very well with selling my memory products and speed reading and everything. I just don't want to make it from the gambling thing. I saw a lot of bad things. I did really well in Vegas. I was kicked out of Harrah's Casino. I was banned from Trump's casino, oddly enough, so he does have standards in some way. I don't want to, that was not how I wanted to get rich, put it that way, mm-hmm. You know?
So you're based where?
Right now I'm based in Buffalo, but I'm a dual citizen, so I'm Canadian and American. So
you mentioned Trump. So when Trump is elected, you're moving back to Canada, like, full time.
If you want to get political, I think, honestly, Trump will be really good for business, a lot more than a lot of politicians who don't know anything about running a business. But the other side of the coin, I don't know what he'll be for anything else.
Yeah,
you know, it's a bit of a loose cannon that way.
And I believe that as well. I mean, we need to look at this, and not to get too political here, but I think we do a really piss poor job of looking at the money that comes in and then looking at the money that goes out. It's not rocket science. Like, how on earth can we give, what is it, $4 trillion? It's like, it's in the trillions now, right? I mean, it's insane.
Our debt is 18 trillion.
That's not even a number. Like, my kids
In the Bush administration, it was 9, so it's doubled.
Wow.
In a very short period of time. And I'm not saying that to try to blame, you know, Obama. I mean, obviously there was you know, the TARP money and economics and, you know, three wars and all that. But I mean, you know, he does hold some things to blame. But you know, if Bernie Sanders gets in, that'll double again. You know, it looks like just to give you some simple math.
Well, thank you for that. All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick break here on Reinvention Radio, and we will be back with Dave Farrow right after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're at a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Ulscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step by step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many get on the right path and be clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step for realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting TheReinventionWorkshop.com today. No more delays, no more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to TheReinventionWorkshop.com. That's TheReinventionWorkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
All right, welcome back to another edition here of Reinvention Radio. And we got Dave Farrow on the line. Let's just bring him right back in, because this is an interview I've been looking forward to for quite some time. But by the way, Dave, I don't think you were quite looking forward to it just as much as we were, because you forgot to call in.
I was a little bit late. I'm an obsessed entrepreneur. I was just getting caught up on things, but I was going to call in.
So when you forget things, like, that's got to be, I would assume in your family, that's got to be like an ongoing, just like a running joke. Like, if you forget something, it's got to be just, I mean, how often do you forget something? So I'm sure that the times that you do, you must get so much shit for it.
Yeah. No, it's definitely like I have to be like the Pope. I have to be infallible. But honestly, though, really, I want to actually give a real technique to the listeners. So, because a lot of people are curious, how can you hack your brain? And maybe people are skeptical, which, you know, rightfully you should be until you see some proof here. So I wanted to give some tips so that people can see what this is all about. The real value of this is not to be infallible, as like to be a, you know, like a Rain Man type person. The real value, actually, in today's society, is to be able to learn fast and come up to speed on new technology, new products, new things very quickly. The person who, in today's day and age, if you can learn a new software program, or if you know, I have a lot of people who are real estate agents, for example, and what they do is we have, you know, say 10 to 12 different variables, different, you know, the exact mortgage rate right now, you know, the average house prices in an area, things like that. And by knowing a few things off the top of their head, showing that to customers, all of a sudden they endear themselves to customers and are impressed more. This is true for every industry in today's day and age. The person who has the information off the top of their head, they're given more respect. So it's more like being a speed power learner. That's really the advantage. I'm not suggesting everybody has to be perfect, but I will tell you this: I am married, and I have used the Guinness Book of Records to win a couple of arguments. I will say that.
Yeah, I bet you did.
You know that. You know, she remembers things one way, I remember it another way, and I'm like, you know, there's this book in England that seems to think,
oh, you're so bad,
that I've got a good memory, and she's just like, don't you bring up the, you know,
right?
But you said this is something that people can learn, right? Because that's where it kind of throws me off a little bit. Like, I can't remember shit. I suffer from CRS. Do you know what that is?
Can't remember shit.
Yeah, can't remember. I've suffered that forever. What can I do here? Because, like, I will read a book a week ago, and, like, literally, I can't even remember the title, let alone what was in the book. What are some of the things that we can do?
Okay, well, so first of all, number one, realize that most of the time when you blank out, you would know that information if you were in an unstressed environment. So this is the classic case where a student studies something the night before, they know it, they do a practice test really well, then they go into the exam and they bomb. They're just terrible. It's because stress actually interferes with your ability to remember. And this happens probably to you on the radio, where you have something on the tip of your tongue and you can't quite remember it. And then, you know, you're just like kind of reaching for it and reaching for it. And then after the show is over, boom, all the stress goes away. Your brain chemistry actually shifts and you remember it almost every time. I bet you that's happened to you a bunch of times, right?
Not to me.
So, Steve, if you study high, you have to take the test.
Oh, that's what I'm doing wrong.
All right.
All right.
Well, here's a little trick. Here's a little trick that anybody can do right this instant. And it's actually very simple. It's called looking up. And it's not a philosophical thing. It's actually quite a physical thing. If you notice when people ask you for directions, your natural tendency is to look up, to kind of roll your eyes and look at the sky for a little bit. Well, the reason for that is because the optic nerve, which is a big bundle of nerves behind your eyeball, helps direct energy in the brain. So by looking up, you actually get more in touch with your memory centers. By looking down, that's generally what we do when we talk to ourselves. And when people start to stress out, they tend to look down. So if you stop yourself, kind of make a mental habit of looking up. We've actually done this with college students for exam stress and exam anxiety, and they've, at least in the group that we had at the colleges we had, we saw a jump of about 20% in test scores, which was fantastic. And by the way, the ones who are the lowest scorers get the biggest results. Those are the ones that should be performing higher, but their stress is getting in the way.
Mm-hmm. And so you do a lot of speaking. Corporations hire you. Why would a corporation hire you, just out of curiosity?
Well, most of the talks I give are to salespeople, so I go through a whole demonstration, I memorize the whole audience, that sort of thing, and people really understand that if you can remember more about your industry, remember more about the client, and more importantly, do things to help them remember you, like my Faro hat, then you're going to make more money. So I speak to a lot of real estate, financial services, insurance companies. I speak to a lot of pharmaceutical reps, that sort of thing. And it's also something that I think that a lot of salespeople, you have to be a lifelong learner if you want to be in sales or marketing of any kind. There's always a new thing to learn. There's always something happening. And if you don't have the ability to teach yourself, then you're going to fall behind very quickly. Everybody's going to be on to the next hot thing, and you won't know what it is. So I teach speed reading to a lot of these groups. I did speed reading and memory to the team at eBay, for example, recently to keep on top of all the everything that goes on in Silicon Valley. Essentially, it's just a fire hose of information, and for them to be able to learn it quickly, it gives them a huge advantage.
Hey, Dave, I was curious: does your brain ever stop?
I actually have had difficulty with insomnia sometimes. I do some meditation and everything. That might be the only downside of this. You have to. But I think a lot of passionate people have difficulty with insomnia, so I don't think it's just me. But hey, if we have 4 or 5 minutes or something, I could do a quick little exercise with you guys. You want to try it?
Ironically enough,
we have five minutes
and 4 seconds until the break, so please have at it.
So you guys talked about a study earlier, memorizing a list of objects. Well, that's actually one of the standard tests for memory, and that's because it crosses all cultural boundaries. So, for example, if I gave you a list of cars to memorize, right? Steve, you'd probably do better than maybe some of the other people in the room because maybe you are a fan of cars. Mm-hmm. But if I gave you just a list of random objects, everybody's kind of equal. So the majority of people, after being shown a list of objects just once, can remember about 5 items. 4 to 5 items is perfectly acceptable. You usually remember the first two and the last two and nothing in the middle. I'm going to take you through a little list that we use actually in our double-blind study. I used this at McGill University, for example, and I'm going to show you essentially what would go on in my brain to memorize it.
Sure.
So here is the principle that we are doing. I call this principle the tiger in the jungle. And it's a metaphor, it's not an actual tiger, but basically the idea is if we were hunter-gatherers thousands of years ago walking through the jungle and we came upon a tiger, right, drinking by a river or something, right, we would hightail it in the other direction, but the point is that you do not need repetition to remember that the tiger was over there by the river, just past that rock, in that exact location, that sort of thing. You don't, in order to memorize certain facts that are important for your survival, your brain has a shortcut. It has a way to remember it instantaneously. This same shortcut happens, by the way, when you get a jingle in your head you can't get out of your head, when you get a YouTube video that is very viral that just sticks in your mind. There's some types of memory that do not require repetition to memorize. So what I do is I show people how to use creativity to kind of make silly pictures or something really weird and funny in their head to help link up information. So, for example, I'll start off with this thing. We start off with a tree, a car, a cat, an umbrella, a swimming pool, an elephant, and then we have after the elephant is a bank, orange juice, cell phone, and chocolate. So once I say that, you might remember chocolate and tree and maybe car.
I remember elephant. I think elephant of all the things you listed, I think I remember elephant. Maybe swimming pool, right? He said swimming pool.
There you go.
Yeah,
so
okay, two things.
Most people would do four or five, but it depends on which four or five. Here's what I would do is I would start at the beginning and essentially create a, like, this is a very, very simplified version of my course, mind you. This is the most basic thing, but you can teach this to kids. I essentially would create a story out of it that is very, very colorful but has no plot to it. You don't have characters. You don't have plot. You don't get involved in narrative. It's just a very, almost like a silly action scene, okay? So I have the tree. I imagine the tree on my front lawn. The next one's a car, so I imagine a car crashing into the tree. I want all you guys to visualize it. I will be testing you. So the tree is there. The car crashes into it. A cat comes out of the car. So it was driven by Toonces the Driving Cat, if you remember that reference. The cat grabs an umbrella. And just focus on one thing at a time. You don't have to focus on the whole thing, and it'll work better. The cat grabs an umbrella and kind of flies up into the air and then falls into a swimming pool. So you have the tree, car, cat, umbrella, and then swimming pool. We're almost done. In the swimming pool happened to be an elephant. That's where you remember it. So the elephant was spooked because the cat fell in there, and the elephant goes running into your local bank and starts tearing up the place. Imagine a giant elephant in your local bank, and they knock, and the elephant knocks over a giant vat of orange juice. There's some sort of orange juice, vitamin C, health drive or something. Doesn't matter, but it knocks over a big vat of orange juice. The visual, the craziness matters. The story doesn't matter. And that orange juice splashes all over you and all over everybody's cell phones, and cell phones start sparking and being destroyed. But you were smart enough. You grabbed your cell phone and pulled it back and held it against your ear, but it starts melting. You're like, what's going on? You look at the cell phone, it magically turned into chocolate. For some reason, you held it back, and you're holding like a chocolate cell phone up against your ear. Now, that's what I would picture. With practice, you can make these images very quickly. You can do them with people's names. You can do them with formulas, numbers, huge speeches, all this stuff once you learn the technique. But that's the most basic thing. But now I want to ask you, how are you guys doing? Do you think you can remember the whole list?
All right, so here's what we got. We got about 30 seconds before the break. I'm going to start with you, Mary.
Tree, car, cat, umbrella, swimming pool, elephant, bank, orange juice, cell phone, chocolate. And I feel
there
like
you go.
That was it.
That was it?
Yeah. That was super impressive.
Well, what about the ear?
I don't know if the ear was a thing.
Wait, there was an ear?
The cell phone was the ear.
Yeah.
Melted, turned to chocolate.
There you go.
That was pretty good, though. I can see how that works. I can totally see how that works. All right, so...
And the cool thing is you'll remember that for weeks, months, because the visual kind of bypasses that short-term memory.
All right,
awesome.
That was a lot of fun. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take another break here on Reinvention Radio. We'll be back with Dave Farrow. That is Dave Farrow, FARROW.com, DaveFarrow.com.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, then the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Olscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step-by-step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many people get on the right path and clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step to realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting thereinventionworkshop.com today. No more delays. No more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to thereinventionworkshop.com today. That's thereinventionworkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Olscher.
All right, welcome back to another edition here of Reinvention Radio. Mary, who are you texting during the middle of the show?
my daughter because she's taking a really important math exam today.
Oh, well, that's very sweet.
And I want her to remember.
See? And let me ask
I told her, look up. She goes, huh?
So did you? Are you texting tree, car?
Cat? Yeah. All right.
Typing it in.
Let me ask you this. Dave, what is the earliest memory that you have of your whole life? Like, not something that somebody told you. Like, I've got memories that people told me. Like, I don't remember jack shit from when I was young. Like, my earliest memory is like when I think I was like 12. I have no memory. Oh. Probably for a good reason. But what was your earliest memory? And is it something that you actually have, or does somebody put it into your head? Just curious.
No, I mean, that's a very unique question. I'll be honest with you. My earliest memory is kindergarten. I remember.
Wait a minute. Stop. Time out. You've done 2,000 interviews. No one has ever asked you that question?
Not that I remember.
Yeah!
Not that I recall.
I win. I don't know what I win, but I win something.
Silliness.
Can I get a Pharaoh hat? That would be cool. I'll take a Pharaoh hat.
I will send you a Pharaoh hat. I'd be happy to. Yeah, and by the way, if anybody hasn't figured out what that mnemonic is, it's like the Geico Gecko, the Aflac Duck. If you can make a brand that turns into a logo then, that actually is a mnemonic, that is some sort of trick to help people remember your name, you're going to double your sales minimum.
Okay.
So my last name is Pharaoh, F-A-R-R-O-W. I put on this Egyptian Pharaoh hat and nobody ever forgets my name.
Okay, so I live in the Egyptian house, so I deserve the hat, not Steve.
So, wait, my last name's Ote. Does that mean like I need to paint myself black and like, say I'm buckwheat?
See, I told you, it comes full circle here on Reinvention Radio. Every topic we cover. All right, so Nikki, I think you actually had something. Yes or no?
Yeah, you know, Mary was pretty impressive with the memory little test. I was wondering, now you during the break, you just lit up. Can you remember them?
Chocolate.
No,
I just lit up
ear.
On the break. I remember chocolate.
I want to see if he can go backwards.
Ooh, there you go.
All right.
With chocolate.
Chocolate. Ear. Right? Ear. Cell phone.
Well, ear was just part of the phone. Story, but yeah, cell phone. You got it.
Orange juice. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Bank.
Good.
Bank. Elephant in the bank. Swimming pool.
Mm-hmm.
Cat with the kite, right? Cat with the umbrella. Right, cat with the umbrella.
Umbrella, the cat, yeah.
In the car in the tree.
Yeah.
There you go.
So now when you get stopped by the police, you can count backwards.
I can go.
Right. You'll go chocolate, cell phone.
Then for sure I'll get thrown away.
The funny thing is, guys, you know, and this is a lot of fun, but this is obviously a very basic technique, but I just want to give a little bit of some factual information because there's a lot of misinformation out there about brain training. Lumosity was recently, I don't know if you heard about this, hit with a huge fine.
Yeah.
They were actually fined $50 million, and then it was reduced to something like two or three or something because, interestingly enough, Lumosity doesn't make a lot of profit. They're spending so much on advertising, but they made
They forgot how to make money.
it's the modern age. Same was with my infomercials that, you know, the profit margin is like 1 or 2%, and you just have volume. But anyways, they made false claims saying that their methods improved memory. And really what happens is any game that you play, you get better at. So you save your money and just play the New York Times, you know, crossword or play any game on your phone that's an app, and you'll get better at it over time. And I can show you on a chart, hey, you started here, then you ended here. But that does not mean that you're going to remember anybody's name better or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that improves your memory, there's a principle in neuroscience called transference, and essentially means that one skill does not transfer to another. So if I got you to be better at math by doing math problems, it doesn't improve your memory, it improves your math skills, and specifically those specific math skills. So if you want to have a better memory, essentially exercise your memory. Learn something and then recall it, whether it's a language or whether it's a list like this. By doing this, you're actually strengthening your memory more than any other brain training app out there, and we have the data to prove it.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. My good friend has something called combat brain training. Have you seen or heard about that?
Is that where it's based on the military thing? There is a lot of neat stuff that the military does, where you do mental tasks while you're doing exercises.
It's kind of like that. It's this crazy thing where, like, you look on a piece of paper, and there's, like, a red arrow and it's pointing up. And then there's like a green arrow and it's pointing to the right. And then like a blue arrow and it's pointing down. And it's like this whole thing where basically you end up having to like tap and say things. And then the blue arrow becomes blueberry and then the red arrow becomes raspberry. And it's just like, he sent me through it. I had a headache. Like, after about five minutes, I'm telling you, there's
a very simple thing. I mean, I've been doing this for a long time. I've been doing this for 20 years. And it's very clear what improves your memory is memorizing something. So here's what I mean. Find something that you love. If you've always wanted to learn a language, learn a few words every day, and that'll be more valuable than anything else you could ever do. Now, mind you, if you take my program, I'll show you how to make that easy and fun.
Okay, so wait, back up.
That's essentially the strategy. But, you know, or maybe, you know, learn the guitar, learn a musical instrument, something like that. Learn something new every day, and you'll have a stronger memory. You'll cut your risk for Alzheimer's and dementia by more than half. Like, there's all sorts of really
cool benefits.
There's
still hope, Rich.
Okay, so wait, back up on the language thing. Because mm-hmm. kids can learn very quickly, but as adults, you're saying if we learn 2 to 3 words a day, I mean, how does that process work?
Maybe
kids
learn. You
think you have a bad memory now. Here's the actual facts, the actual data. You think you have a bad memory now because you're not using it as much. When we're kids, when we're in high school or whatever, there was always an exam around the corner. We always had to study something. Even though we hated it, mm-hmm. we always had to do it. So we think we had a better memory then than we do now, but it's just untrained. Adults that go back to school, they usually find a good 3 to 6 months where they're adjusting to studying and learning. If they survive that, then they have the memory that they had in their 20s. It just lays dormant until you exercise it, guys.
So to tie into what you're saying with kids learning faster, with what Mary said here, maybe they're not learning faster because they're kids. They're just learning faster because everything they're learning is new. Like you said, learn new stuff, and you'll continue.
Or just because kids are generally stupid.
Yeah, but it is true. You've got an exam coming up on Thursday. It's all new to you. You're learning new things. Then when you do that, you've exercised your brain. So if you were to give them a cognitive test after that, it's going to be better than the person who hasn't actually studied for anything for 10 years. You know what I mean?
Hey, Dave, these children that are in the spelling bee contest, have you ever retained you for their memory process, or have you ever been consulted to give advice and maybe tutor someone in a competition of this sort?
Mm. It's actually funny that you say that. I don't think I think I'm allowed to say this and everything, but I was actually just talking to someone from Scripps Spelling Bee today about me potentially speaking at their big conference.
Wow.
So there is definitely a tie-in, absolutely. There have been a lot of, I sell mostly products, so I don't do a lot of one-on-ones. I have a product. I mean, if people want to see the products, the most popular page probably is worldsgreatestmemory.com. But so, yeah, a lot of people who have taken the products have gone into the spelling bees or other sort of. There's also like brain bowls. There's trivia contests. Mm. And my organization, we actually do a charitable thing where we do fundraisers at schools if they want to raise money. I actually do a workshop at the school. They sell tickets, and they get to keep some of the proceeds of the tickets. And, you know, we raise money for the school that way. And we end up doing actually a memory competition on campus or in the school. So we actually have a number of, you know, clubs that we have in mm-hmm. different schools. That's not really like to make a lot of money at, but it's kind of my way to give back because I really think this should be in schools. I actually hope that I could work my way out of a job by getting this in schools and then no one would need me anymore. I think that would actually be a good use of my time in this life.
All right, let's do this because we're wrapping up here, my man, and I want you to have the opportunity to tell people where to go. So Dave Farrow is FARROW, so DaveFarrow.com. But where else should people go to learn more about you?
Well, you know, a lot of your listeners are going to be entrepreneurs. If anybody's interested in finding out how to do, you know, 2,000 interviews in the media and start your business from scratch, I actually offer free consultations to any entrepreneurs. I'll extend that to your listeners, free 30-minute consultation. You can go to farrowpr.com, so FARROW, the letter PR.com. And then at davefarrow.com, you can get there. If you want to go right to the memory stuff, a popular website is worldsgreatestmemory.com.
Awesome. All right. Well, thanks so much, Dave, for being here. Been a heck of a lot of fun. Thanks, Mary. Thanks, Rich. Thanks, Nikki. And for those who have rated and reviewed and subscribed to the podcast, thank you so much. We'll talk to you next time here on Reinvention Radio.
You just got dismantled. Thanks for listening to Reinvention Radio. For more information about the show and your host, Steve Olsha, visit reinventionradio.com.